Hey, welcome. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast. It's Tuesday, the 30th of June, 2015. This podcast is available from iTunes and also Podomatic, but you can also go to our website, which is www.krazfiles.com, always C-R-A-Z-Z, and lots of news links going up there. All our latest podcasts and lots of older podcasts are up there as well, so go and check out krazfiles.com. And thanks for listening to our podcast. Okay, we are plugged in and ready to go, and my guest today is John Friend from TheRealistReport.com. John, good to have you back.
Hey, Adam. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. It's always nice speaking with you.
You were with us a few months back, so it's always good to check in with you and see what's going on in that crazy country of yours. And it's probably even crazier here, so we'll run through as much as we can today and just catch up with all latest news and things going on, shootings and psyops and mind-altering drugs and forced vaccinations.
That's right.
And it's just insane. You know, it's just getting... I don't know if you drink alcohol, John, but I need to have a stiff drink every day or I'm going to go nuts. I just can't keep up with it all. It's just really, really, really absolutely creepy in every sense of the word. But how are you going anyway?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I mean, you're right. Things do seem to be heating up. And, you know, what I do, I mean, I don't watch television. I really don't follow the mainstream mass media, you know, so I, you know, if you're not, if you're sort of disconnected from the television and, you know, you get outside, talk to your neighbors, hang out at the park, you know, get out in the community, you know, life isn't so crazy as, you know, if you're plugged in and watching the damn television all day long. So, but no, you're right. I mean, there's, you know, plenty of things going on that we can talk about. Probably the most important thing that's happened recently is this alleged shooting down in Charleston, South Carolina, at a historically black church. So that's, you know, that's making headlines here. And of course, we just had the Supreme Court federally sanction and legalize gay marriage, which is, you know, I use that in quotes when I, you know, I just posted a brief article about it yesterday on my website. And I use that in quotes because it's absolutely an abomination.
It was, and I saw it on the news the other night, Obama giving a speech and he got heckled. I saw that on here. It was the LGBT, wasn't it? Like lesbian, gay, and bisexual people. And he turned around to the guy and he said, "You know, you don't speak to me like that in my house." And I just I don't know if what you think about it, but Obama seems gay to me. He really, honestly does.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I know they're all queer. We're hearing about Hillary Clinton's raving lesbian, and we know about Bill Clinton's an absolute deviant and child molester, so I wouldn't put it past him, but it was a strange speech, wasn't it, to come out of nowhere and do that?
Yeah. Well, one thing I've noticed, you know, doing this research over the years is it seems like pretty much all of these high-profile politicians and CEOs, you know, pretty much the elite, what we would consider the elite, you know, these people are all, for the most part anyways, sexual deviants. They're either homosexuals or they're pedophiles. I mean, you know, it seems to be even more prevalent over in the United Kingdom. You know, like all of these politicians turn out to be pedophiles. And, you know, nothing's done about it. You know, they're like known to be pedophiles. And like that, for example, there was that Lord, was it Janner? Lord Janner, I think he was like a Jewish member of Congress and he was involved in all these, you know, major Jewish organizations. And, you know, it was widely known that this man was a pedophile and, you know, nothing's done about it. But, I mean, it's the same thing in America. I there have been allegations, some pretty credible allegations that Obama is a homosexual. There's a guy named, oh geez, what was his name? Larry Sinclair, I think was the guy's name. and he wrote a book, and I believe he had a radio show for a while. And there's some interesting YouTube videos that you can find where, you know, he's giving a press release discussing his experience with Obama, and he claims that, you know, they not only had a homosexual relationship, but they also did drugs together.
Yeah, you know,
it's some pretty bizarre allegations. But I mean, you know, the guy seemed pretty honest. You know, I mean, who really knows? I mean, it didn't seem like he was, you know, totally making this up. And given what we know about the elite in America, and, you know, really just all across the Western world, it certainly wouldn't surprise me to discover that Obama was a homosexual, especially, I mean, just look at the way he acts.
The way he carries himself. He just seemed a little queer to me. It wasn't just the speech he was giving. It just his demeanor and the way he talks and the way he moves his head. He seems a little queer.
Well, he's certainly not a very masculine man. That's for sure.
No. It's just be going back to what you said before. I just put up an article from June 27th. I don't know if you heard about it. It was a university academic say pedophilia is natural and normal for males to be aroused by children. That was an academic conference held at the University of Cambridge, just what you were talking about, and on pedophilia. And they're just saying now that the minority, or you know, a large amount of males think it's normal to have sex with children and they're aroused by them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
well, see, this, you know, it really is. And see, this is what this whole, you know, it started out with homosexual rights. You know, what's next? I mean, we had the Bruce Jenner thing where all of a sudden this former Olympic gold athlete is all of a sudden declaring to the world that he's a woman.
Yeah,
we had the bizarre case up in Washington State. There is a woman, Rachel Dozar or something like that. Dozal, I think is how you pronounce it. You know, she's a white woman and she's saying that she's black. I mean, everything is just really getting crazy and just out of control all at once. And things seem to be happening almost daily where it's like, wow. And people see these things going on. They see the gay marriage. They see, you know, the transsexualism. You know, next is pedophilia and bestiality and who knows what else. And, you know, I think it's getting to a point where we've got some very serious problems and there's almost no one in the mainstream that is standing up to any of this. I actually watched a video just last night of Donald Trump, who actually recently announced that he was going to be running for president.
Oh, God.
And out of all of the presidential candidates that I've seen and that I know about, I mean, this guy was actually making some sense. You know, he's, you know, sort of a traditional American conservative. I mean, you know, that's just the impression that he gave off when I watched the interview. Of course, he's, you know, a billionaire that's probably going to sell us all out anyways. But, you know, I mean, pretty much everybody else, they're just, yeah, we got to do homosexual marriage. We got to let, you know, Bruce Jenner declare that he's a woman all of a sudden. We got to accept that. It's just crazy. I saw there was a photo floating around. Actually, a friend of mine showed it to me, and I thought it was a joke. It was a picture of the White House with the homosexual, you know, rainbow flag on it, lit up the White House.
I put that up on our website.
With the rain. Yeah, and like I thought that was a joke. I didn't realize that they actually did that.
Yeah.
And apparently they not only did it at the White House, they did it at the Pentagon. They did it at, you know, all of the major memorials in Washington, D.C. It's just like,
that's
how
surreal.
Insulting. It is. I mean, incredible. Could you imagine
gay
the
colors.
Pentagon, our military, is endorsing
gay colors.
It's really just sickening.
Do you feel like you're living in the Twilight Zone? I mean,
it basically is like, you know, like I said, I try to disconnect from the television and the mainstream BS. But, you know, I mean, it's difficult. You know, you just go on the internet and you can find out everything you need to know about what's going on. But yeah, no, it is. It absolutely is. And it's been like that for quite some time.
It's Kyle. When we talked to Kyle on the Solar Storm, he was talking about problem reaction solution that David Icke made popular. You know, mm-hmm. where they create a problem, they blow up something, they have a shooter, the people react, and then they offer the solution. It's worked for them for a very long time. And we generally lose our civil liberties, our health freedoms, everything. But you have a look at what's going on. It's unbelievable with the, as you said, the shooting over there. which we'll get into now with the blacks, and then the shootings in Tunisia, I think it was, with this guy in board shorts and bare feet just strolling around shooting people, you know. And then in France, some guy posing with a severed head, you know. And then you've got Obama out of the clear blue sky bringing in gay rights into the United States, which is a big deal. We haven't done that here yet so much. You know, so it's all these psyops and things to distract everybody. You know, it's problem, reaction, solution on top of problem, reaction, solution, and on top of that. And then you have, of course, Obama rushing through the TPP, which is absolutely illegal and criminal. It's absolute criminal behavior. You've got these criminals in Congress putting up their hands to vote for it. No one's being told what's going on. So then you ask yourself, did they create this psyop of the shooting in the church to bring in the TPP? But then he's distracting people with the gay rights and then the Confederate flag. And it's just constant distraction all the time going on while all this stuff is being done behind closed doors, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're making a lot of really good points. And, you know, a lot of these free trade deals, you know, going back to NAFTA and even before that, but, you know, in recent years, there's been a lot of these, you know, basically globalist, very secretive free trade deals that have essentially been forced on America. And, you know, nobody really knows what's in them. As you said, they are negotiated behind closed doors. Congress isn't privy to the details of the agreements that they're voting for. And these are issues that are very important. And I'd like to just to mention this. American Free Press, the newspaper that I write for, it's a bi-monthly newspaper. So every 2 weeks, we put out about a 30 to 36-page newspaper, and it's a print newspaper. They've been covering these issues for years now, and they do a really good job exposing this and following up on a lot of the details in these, well, you know, what they can find out anyways. The details I can find out about some of these free trade proposals. And from what I understand, there's so many of them right now. There's like three or four of them that are going on. There's one, the TPP, and then there's, I think it's like the Trans Service Agreement, which deals with, gosh, and you know, I'm really not even sure when it comes to all the details with these globalist free trade pacts. But I mean, basically, it's just more of the same. It's more of the total exploitation and rape of our economy. You know, it really represents the systematic destruction of our economy in many ways. I mean, if you look at America today, you know, where in the past, you know, go back to World War II, we're manufacturing, you know, manufacturing represented what, 50-60% of our economy. Now it's down to like 5 or 10%. I mean, it's almost nothing. You know, everybody is in a service-based sector of the economy. And you know, it ultimately isn't sustainable in the long run. You know, it's very difficult to obtain a good paying, decent job anymore. And I think a big reason why is because of these globalist free trade pacts that are rammed down our throats. And you know, they're not really negotiated. We don't know the details. These corporate CEOs and elite politicians essentially negotiate them behind the scenes, and then they're passed and they're law.
Oh yeah, and our government here is doing sneaky behind the door deals as well. So don't think Australia isn't heavily involved in this. We're probably even worse than the United States. And there's just been a whole bunch of terrible stuff coming into Australia as well, including surveillance. And total internet control now, and they're just coming out and admitting it. So this is all to do with that. And of course, Monsanto, it seems to be all about Monsanto, doesn't it? But, you know, I've just read a security bill in Australia which opened the door to targeted killings. This is from ASIO, which is our intelligence agency here in Australia, where they're saying now they can have targeted killings and also kill journalists. So you wouldn't expect that from coming from Australia. And they've basically got these data retention laws now. So our internet providers have to keep all our details for 2 years. And they've basically admitted that they're into all our details, everything that we do in Australia online. So it's getting really creepy in this country. Absolutely. And this is only going to make it worse. And we're not being told anything either. you know, with this, but we're the same. I mean, we're pretty good here, but you know, we had the Lima Declaration, I think, in the 70s, where they met and you know, drew up this plan to destroy all our manufacturing industry in particular, which is all going offshore now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you guys are further ahead, but I'm seeing it here now as well with our car manufacturing. They're all leaving all our great clothing and, you know, shoe manufacturings. For example, we used to make a lot of things here like the Americans as well, and it's all going to Thailand, India, China, of course, all this sort of stuff as well, being sucked
exactly
out the back door. And, you know, we're starting to see what you guys have been seeing for a long time now. And now they're bringing in these sneaky deals. And it's really disgusting the way that Obama's doing it and the way our Prime Minister Tony Abbott's doing it as well. There's no public debate or input at all, is there?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's like the total opposite of democracy, right? I mean, it's just essentially tyranny. And you know, we don't even know the details of what's being negotiated. That's the thing. Is, you know, it's just, oh, here it is, here's this deal, and Congress approves it, and then it's law, and, you know, we suffer the consequences.
Yeah, badly. And
the average people, the average worker, I mean, the average worker.
Yeah, of course.
And this is a bipartisan thing. I mean, you hear in America, you know, you hear the Republicans, and even more specifically the Democrats, they're always talking about, you know, being the champions of the working class. And it's total nonsense, because both the major political parties go along with globalism, with economic globalization, and system. I mean, it really is a systematic dismantling and destruction of our economy. And stop and think about it. I mean, if we're not actually doing any real work, if we're not making anything, you know, what the heck is going to be the result? There's not going to be any good jobs, and everybody's going to be basically a wage slave, you know, working at McDonald's or Walmart, or one of these other mega corporations.
That'll be taken by computers.
Making 10, 12 bucks an hour. It's absolutely ridiculous. If I was if I was made the dictator of America, I think the very first thing I would do would be to make it illegal for these major corporations to outsource their manufacturing. For example, Apple. I mean, Apple's an American company. They're headquartered up in the San Francisco area. There's a lot of very high tech, very high paying jobs. You know, developing telecommunications and technology and whatnot, and then they turn around and they outsource all of the actual production of their products to China and to Mexico and to, you know, all these other countries where they are exploiting the workers over there.
Yeah,
you know, they're paying them what, maybe a couple bucks a day, if that, you know, maybe a dollar a day. And then they're coming over here to America and they're selling these iPads and these iPhones and their technology for hundreds of dollars. And they're making all these profits. That's the first thing I would do. If you are going to do business in America, you're going to have your R&D here and your corporate headquarters here. You're going to manufacture your product here and you're going to pay your workers a decent wage. That's what traditional American, patriots did. Look at Henry Ford. That's what Henry Ford did. And I think there was a lot of other corporate titans back then that sort of had that mindset. Look, we're going to do everything here. We're going to pay our workers a decent wage so that way they can actually buy the products they're making. You know what I mean? It raises everybody up. You know, it creates profits and productivity for everybody rather than all of the money being concentrated and essentially stolen by the very elite, which is exactly what we have today.
Yeah, well, I did see that China were testing robots from Taiwan that were making the iPads and iPhones. And, of course, they don't need any breaks or holidays. They do it faster and more efficient. And,
right.
It was so successful, they're going to order thousands of these things. And I saw them making this equipment, you know, it's pretty amazing. You know, what are Chinese? There's a billion Chinese. What are they going to do? If this comes in full force? Because, you know, I'm seeing the workforce here as well getting worse and worse. You know, like I've had two jobs just in the past few years. I don't have to do it now, but, you know, where they're doing productivity assessments, you know, where you get these bozos, these clowns standing there all day with a pen and paper just watching you. You know, I'm staring at everything that you do,
Is
taking
it
notes. You
like
know,
quality assurance
and
type stuff?
then they
Yeah,
go and have a
that's
meeting and
big.
say, "Well, you know, you've got three guys in this section doing that job. Can you do it with one?" You know, and you know, I used to work at a warehouse where they packed medicines and stuff, and there was like 20 people packing, and now I think there's nothing really. It's all getting automated. I just saw the other night our shipping ports where all the containers come into Sydney. They got these robot-looking forklift things that are doing it now, and they go and charge themselves at these terminals, and they can fix themselves. You know, amazing. And they're saying it's good, but what about all the guys that work on the ports there, on the forklifts, and bringing all that work in? You know, they're going to be without a job soon, as well as the car manufacturers. You know, it's we're getting phased out as computers take over our jobs. They're saying in the next 10 years, a large percentage of our jobs, you know, maybe close to 50%, at least 40%, will disappear completely. And then you'll have the low-paid jobs, as you said, McDonald's. But I'm sure McDonald's will be able to bring in automation where a machine, you know, a robot can just put the burgers together and shoot it down the pipe to you know, into your car. So it's a worry. It's a worry. I would say, you know, the jobs will be in technology, John. That's where they'll be for, you know, things like Google and all that high technology. If that's what you've studied at uni and that's what you're good at, you'll probably do pretty well. But as you said, just for the general people working and having a manufacturing job, you know, it's going to be hard for them. You know, of course, you've got people who build houses and do all the plumbing and all that. They always get a lot of work. But I'm seeing in the United States a lot of people without work now. It's a real worry, and I'm seeing the ricochet here a
it
little
is.
bit. You know, it's really must be so hard for them, particularly in the United States, when they bought a house years ago worth so much, and now it's not worth really anything, and they have to pay the bank back, and they're wandering around for years without a job in the United States of America. I mean, you would never think that, but
The
it's
land of
happening.
opportunity,
Yeah,
yeah.
and the Jewish bankers are now raping Greece. I mean, it's on its, you know, it's gurgling, it's on its death throes, and they're just raping it still. There's no mercy. There's no mercy. The same thing happened to Argentina, very similar to Greece, just raping that country down to its bones. You know, and they don't care. They're like vampires in the night, don't they, John? They just
Oh,
strip
they
away.
want
You know,
more. They're
they want, and
demanding
it's not
more,
enough
yeah.
for them. Yeah, people suffering,
Yeah,
no jobs, can't
nothing's
feed their
enough.
kids, not enough.
Yeah. Well, see, I mean, I think what it boils down to is we have, well, certainly in America, but I think pretty much in all Western developed nations today, we have governments that do not represent the interests of the people they're supposed to be, you
No.
know, they're supposed to be champions of. They are there simply to exploit the people and to increase the profits and the power of not only themselves, but also their corporate, you know, paymasters, basically. That's what we have. You know, we could have a governing system or political system. If we had a political system that put the interests of the nation first, we could handle all of these problems and you know, there would be no unemployment. You know what I mean? I mean, that's exactly what Adolf Hitler and National Socialist Germany did. They had a governing system that placed the well-being and the interests of the people first and foremost, above all else. I think in American history, that has been there off and on, you know, over the course of our history. But now it's not there at all. You know, the government is there to parasite off of us and exploit us. And I think that's very, very clear. And I think most people recognize that. They just haven't, you know, put everything together. They don't understand all the ins and the outs. But it's very clear that the political establishment is totally corrupt and absolutely does not represent the people in any way, shape, or form.
That's exactly right. And look at this here, you know, just going back to what you were saying, what we were saying before, in Australia, our coalition government passed legislation to store every Australian's internet metadata for up to 2 years, just to clarify with you from what I was saying, but that's your metadata will be stored. And now new legislation has passed our Senate, with full support, that will force internet service providers to block access to certain websites. This
Oh, see, that's dangerous
is
right there.
happening in Australia. So this is, yeah. I would say, worse than the United States. They're blocking sort of websites like your website or mine or whoever's, you know. So this is dangerous, dangerous stuff. This is what's happening in China. So, you know, people need to know that's happening in Australia as well. So yeah. It's really scary. And all your data, you know, is being stored, you know, for 2 years, maybe more. That's all. That's what we know. I'd say it's more. All your details, yeah. You know.
You know, and this was a lot of the information that Edward Snowden was releasing. I'm sure you're familiar with that guy.
Yep.
He was, yeah, yeah. And you know, to be honest with you, I don't necessarily doubt it. Like, I don't doubt that they're spying on us and collecting all of our data and information. But to be honest with you, I almost view that whole scenario as sort of like a fear-based, you know, mind control program where, you know, they're really trying to scare everybody, like, oh, you know, Big Brother is watching everything you do. Don't get out of line. You know, don't even dare, you know, viewing any of these alternative websites that are critical of the government. I almost view it as sort of a fear-based tactic.
That's a really good point.
And I'm not,
it's a good point.
Like I said, I'm not, yeah. And I'm not even necessarily saying that they're not doing that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they are or not. I wouldn't be surprised if they did, in fact, have the capability to do that. But at the same time, you know, are there, you know, thousands of people sitting around and collecting data on everybody? You know, I just don't know. I don't, to be honest, I don't worry about it. You know what I mean? I mean, I've been so open and you know, honest with everything I've done online anyways. You know,
yeah,
like,
same.
I don't care.
They can watch me. I don't care.
I mean, it's not going to scare me. But I almost think that was a big part of the Snowden situation and that whole, because we got to understand that anything that's getting mainstream media coverage and anything that's being reported in the media, there is an agenda behind it. They don't just release information. You know, nothing is, I don't want to say everything is scripted, but if it's getting into the mainstream media, and when I say that, I mean, you know, ABC, NBC, Fox News, CNN, when it's, you know, getting at that level, there is an agenda behind it. You know what I mean? Like the media, the mass media in the quote unquote entertainment complex, we got to understand that these are really weapons that are used to deceive us. They're used to program us, to get us to accept things that we wouldn't otherwise accept, like homosexual marriage, for example, or transgenderism or transsexuality, however you want to say it. You know, we got to understand that the media itself is a weapon. It absolutely is a weapon, and it's been demonstrated on so many occasions that, you know, this is in fact the case. Not that there, you know, not that you can't find legitimate, genuine information presented in the media, but I think if you look at certainly the more high profile cases, you know, the very you know, sort of game changing events, whether we're talking about 9/11. Or Sandy Hook, or this recent, you know, alleged shooting in Charleston, or any of these, you know, very traumatizing events that are presented in the media. I think it's pretty clear that, you know, we are being deceived by the media with a lot of these major events.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I thought the same thing that you just said, you know, like, is this fear-based mind control being pumped all the time that you're being watched and watched. It really is 1984, yeah. Isn't it, George Orwell? But then you sort of think, well, do they really have the technology to really do what they're saying? Or, you know, by them putting that out through the media, does that sort of put us in line because we're scared of being, you know, that we're being watched and everything we're doing? So, you know, we're sort of controlling ourselves, if you will, because we've got this paranoia that we're being watched from, you know, the TV and the phone, and we're being hacked and everything. You know, they were saying in Australia that our telecom has highly advanced surveillance systems, and they're vacuuming our telephone calls and texts and, you know, social media messages, Facebook, everything. And it's being filtered out and given to intelligence and law enforcement agencies, which we don't know exactly who they are. But I thought that before. Is Edward Snowden like Osama bin Laden? Is he part of the PSYOP?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I think that there is,
Why would he be allowed, John, to go around and get out all that info, you know? Why would he be allowed to do that?
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense, and the media are freely reporting on it, you know? Seems a bit weird.
Yeah, now I'm really probably going to ruffle some feathers by saying this, but how do we even know Edward Snowden even exists?
Exactly.
I mean, is this dude just like literally a fictional character that's
Jason
been created?
Bourne.
You know, we don't know.
He's Jason Bourne.
Well, and see, that's the thing. When it comes to these, especially the more high-profile events or cases that are reported on by the mass media, you know, how do we know any of this stuff even happens? See, that's the thing. You know, as soon as Sandy Hook happened, and this is something I've kind of learned and sort of evolved since Sandy Hook, really, because that was, to me, so obvious that, you know, something was up with that event. And, that millions of people agreed with me. And, you know, saw through it very quickly because the whole thing was just so bizarre. But I think the proper way to think about these events that are presented in the media is, one, is there any genuine or legitimate evidence to demonstrate that what the media is saying is true? I mean, think about – let's just take, for example, this alleged shooting in Charleston. What evidence do we have that this shooting took place? Well, if you think about it, what evidence we have is that the media, one, reported on it. They said it happened. I mean, they reported it in CNN and, you know, all the other, you know, major media outlets. They said it happened. You know, we have some very bizarre testimony by these alleged victim family members who are saying that, oh, you know, my mother died in this shooting or my father died in this shooting. But really, that's about it. I mean, there's really no evidence, no concrete, verifiable evidence to demonstrate that what the media said took place actually did. And see, that's the thing, you know, why would we ever just blindly accept what the media says about anything? And I mean, I'm not saying that everything is a hoax or anything like that. I'm just asking the question, why would anybody who is quote unquote awake and who knows what's going on, you know, is awake to things like 9/11 and the Jews and some of the other things we talk about, you know, you guys talk about here on this show and what I write about on my website and whatnot. Why would any of us just blindly accept what the Jewish mass media is saying about anything when we know that they systematically deceive us on a daily basis? I mean, look at the Holocaust story. Easily the biggest lie in all of history. If we know the Jews are lying about such a monumental, you know, just tremendous event like the Holocaust, why would we believe anything they say about anything? It's just insane to me. Like how, and what is really frustrating is the people in the alternative media who just accept it. And they write, you know, they write from a perspective of, oh yeah, this actually happened. This kid was insane or he was on psychiatric drugs. And I'm not saying maybe he was insane, maybe he was on all these prescription medication drugs and you know that's what led him to commit this shooting at this black church. Maybe that's true, but you don't know that for sure. There's no way how do you know that? I mean, that's a theory. That is itself a theory. I don't want to say conspiracy theory, but it is a theory. And it's a theory that, you know, we should think about and consider. But, you know, I don't think it's something that we can say conclusively.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm, I don't know if I'm explaining this properly.
No, that's exactly
right.
It's, but, you know, I mean, it is a media storm, a media fire. They jumped on it. I mean, straight away, it's like they had his images ready and those photos from Facebook with him posing.
Man.
I mean, who's taking those?
Who took those photos? Exactly.
You know, and
I
it
mean,
was just with the sunglasses on and, you know, the flowers
it's bizarre,
around him.
Man.
It's, but, you know, just from website here from Jim Stone, he's saying NBC News that specifically stated today that white America presents twice the terror threat Muslims do. And so he's saying perhaps factual because most American Jews are white and Muslims never did anything on 9/11. So it's, you know, NBC totally controlled by Jewish interests and you know, all over most of the media reporting on this. It just seemed to have it. It was just too cut and perfect, wasn't it? And what is it? Dylan Roof Storm.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I mean, that's not a name. But it, sometimes I think, are we sort of, as you said, was he on drugs, psycho drugs? Did he work for the CIA? Did he have a fake gun? Was it staged? Did anyone die? I think sometimes we overcomplicate it as well. It just seems like a staged event. That's what I could say about this, absolutely. And it seems like it's they're going to go for a gun grab, and it seems ex it really does seem to me that this is to demonize white patriot Americans that are
Oh,
gun
there's no
owners.
doubt. Oh, there's
Absolutely.
no doubt about that.
I don't think we need to overcomplicate it. That just is a fact, and it seems dumb too when you look at it. But I think what they always stage these events, don't they? It stinks of Mossad as well.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. I mean, and I put up a post. I put up a couple posts about this on my website. The first one, it was a video of. Are you familiar with that 108 Morris 108? He's a YouTube commentator, and he actually does quite a, he'll do, anywhere from 5 to 10 videos a week. I mean, he puts out a lot of material, and he's pretty hip to a lot of this media fakery stuff. When it comes to Sandy Hook or, a lot of these other alleged shootings and traumatic events that are, presented in the media, he had a pretty, a decent video that I posted on my site and made a couple comments. And then just on Wednesday, oh, I guess it was last week, last Wednesday, I put up an article that received quite a bit of attention. It's called "White Supremacists in Quotes." White supremacists, next target in the global war on terror. And I was basically, commenting on the event, asking, why would we believe this actually happened? Where's the proof? It has pretty much all the indicators of being yet another media created event, that's going to be used for political, for a very tyrannical political agenda. And that's exactly what we've seen. But almost immediately, okay, so this is a point that I think needs to be emphasized. Almost immediately, Obama, I believe Hillary Clinton even made similar comments, and other leading political figures, they're talking about guns. Oh, well, we need harsher gun restrictions, et cetera. That's always the first thing that they say. Then they start demonizing the Confederate flag, and then we have an article coming out by the guys from the Southern Poverty Law Center published in the New York Times entitled "White Supremacists Without Borders." That was the article. That was the op-ed that the New York Times published. It received a lot of attention. And these guys are basically saying that quote unquote white supremacists, which if you break that term down, what it really means is anybody who identify any white person who identifies with their race. Who identifies with the white race, who recognizes that they are a member of the white race, and that we have unique interests that are not being championed by anyone. There's a very clear, it's clear that there's a war on white people all over the Western world. So that's what a white supremacist is, somebody who recognizes that they're white and cares about the future of white people. That's how they would call us a white supremacist for even having those feelings. Or even having that, political perspective. And, they're just openly declaring war on us, saying that we need to be the next target in the global war on terror. We're using the internet to network with other people, to spread our message, to spread facts and information to people. And we need to be viewed as a threat. That's what these guys are saying. And then we have other articles, which you mentioned, coming out in the New York, also in the New York Times. The Daily Mail over in the UK had a big headline, "White supremacists more dangerous than radical Muslim terrorists." I mean, that's what they're saying now. It's no longer the Muslims who are the enemies. We've pretty much, destroyed all those countries in the Middle East, created millions of refugees who are now flooding our countries. We've done our dirty work over there. Now, white people are the enemy. White people are going to be targeted in this quote unquote global war on terrorism. Which, as we know, was entirely concocted by Jewish propagandists and neocons in the West, working in conjunction with Israeli geopolitical and military strategists going all the way back to the late 1970s. This paradigm of foreign policy was literally concocted by these people, it was created by these people, and then they staged 9/11 to justify it, to institutionalize it. And that's exactly what they did. So, I mean, it's just incredible when you really think about all these things. And, you know, just the way that this alleged shooting is being used to advance all of these agendas quite nicely. I mean, it's just, how could you ever accept that this is a genuine event? I mean, it's just incredible to me.
Yeah. And Jim Stone makes some good points here, talking about the TPP probably having a hidden gun control rider in it.
Yeah,
he says, you know, this Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, which is, you know, passing during a past, well, a large chunk of it did, whatever they've done. This was during a CIA-sponsored Charlestown event, which we know probably has a hidden gun rider, control gun rider in it. So that makes sense to me. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think so. And, you know, it's funny when you look at, what is it in your country, Walmart? Walmart and all those places, they're all Jewish controlled as well, right?
Gosh, you know, I really, I wouldn't be surprised. Corporate structure, if it's not outright controlled by Jews, it's the Jewish agenda. You know, globalism in general is, you know, we know who's behind globalism. We know who the international bankers are.
Mm.
You know, one point I was thinking of that I didn't mention is, you know, another way that this alleged shooting is being used to destroy our Constitution and to really just attack white people, specifically white people, is they're claiming that this Dylan Storm roof was radicalized on the internet. And, you know, we see organizations like the Southern Poverty Law Center, like the ADL, like a variety of political pundits and commentators. Again, the New York Times, the New York Times is just totally anti-white and totally tyrannical. They have this section called, I believe it's called Room for Debate, and it's part of their op-ed page. And how it works is they pose a question, and then they invite, you know, five or six people to weigh in and give their take on, you know, how that question should be addressed. And one of the questions they raised after, you know, in the aftermath of this alleged shooting is what needs to be done to make sure that this doesn't happen again. And pretty much all of them are basically calling for hate crime laws. They're calling for hate speech laws, you know, literally restricting what we can say. And this is, I this week for American Free Press, I just submitted an article dealing with this subject. And, you know, I consulted and got quotes from a number of different individuals, including Kyle Hunt and Dr. Kevin McDonald from the Occidental Observer, and also James Edwards from the Political Cesspool. And it was a really good article, pretty, you know, kind of addresses all of these subjects, how this shooting is really being used to attack white people specifically, and how it's being used to advance all of these very just, frankly, un-American, totally tyrannical agendas. And, you know, whether it's gun control or taking, you know, eliminating and removing the Confederate flag, you know, demonizing the Confederate flag, demonizing white people, demonizing gun owners, you know, calling for hate crimes laws and, you know, ending free speech and censoring websites and taking down websites. You know, it's very clear that this was an orchestrated event, you know, used to do all these things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just going back there as well, from this article, they're saying, why are they attacking the Confederate flag? Why did Walmart and eBay jump the gun so fast as well? Answer, because Walmart, eBay, and CNN are Jewish-controlled, and Jews despise people they rule over. So they're trying to erase the white American identity. We know that as well. And interesting,
yes,
I've just got news up from America from June 29th, which is... the 29th, you're on the 29th now, we're the 30th here, about investigations going forward with fires at six black churches in five southern states. I don't know if you're seeing that. There's more churches being set on fire, and they're saying that they're racial-based sort of attacks on the churches. So here you go. Even white people are running around with matches setting black churches on fire now in American southern states. because they're really demonizing Americans who live in the southern parts, aren't they? As you know,
yes.
they demonize them through the movies. They're all toothless and rednecks, and they just fire guns and want to kill everybody. When they're extremely good people, intelligent people, some of the best people in the United States. They live in some of the most beautiful parts of the United States, but they've demonized that part of America for so long now, especially, as I said, through the movies, haven't they, John?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, it's interesting you bring that up. I did see some of those headlines, and I listened to a recent Red Ice Creations interview.
Yes,
there's a guy named Jay Dyer, I believe.
Yeah,
his
that's
name.
The one. Yeah, I listened to that yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't really know much about this guy. I'd you know, seen his website before, and it was a really good interview. And one of the points he was making in it, they were talking about the Charleston shooting, and you know, asking questions about it, sort of like what we're doing. And one of the points that he made was that I apparently back in I think it was in the 90s, I believe, either the 90s or the 80s, maybe. I think it was the 90s. Anyways, he was talking about how there was the media was reporting that there was all these, you know, historically black churches being set on fire in the South, and how it turned out that it was almost entirely bogus.
That
there was no fire. It was just completely manufactured and created by the media, or the fire was, you know, accidental, or it was, you know, set by a black person. You know what I mean? Like it was just not what the media was saying. And so I wouldn't be surprised if that's exactly what we're seeing today. I mean,
it's happening again.
Yeah. I would not be surprised at all.
Yeah, the burning of churches. Yeah, I just got the story up now. It's your mainstream media over there, so they're saying that they're investigating it now, and it's they're hoping it's not hate crimes.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and again, it just demonstrates how weaponized the media really is. How it is used as a weapon,
exactly,
to manufacture agendas, to create events. And you know, this is something that, you know, has been written about by, you know, military guys that specialize in psyops, by academics that specialize in these topics. There's a brilliant article that you can find on the internet, and I've cited it in various articles I've written over the years. I'm actually going to be citing it in the book I'm working on.
Nice.
It was written by a guy, off the top of my head, I think his name is George Stein. And he wrote an article, I think it's called Information Warfare. I can't remember the exact name of it and everything right now. But anyways, he talks about, and it's almost like he's warning people about this. He's talking about a scenario in which, you know, a group of people that control the media, or that, you know, influence the media, or they have some sort of sway, could literally just create something, you know, in the media and present it, and then everybody would have to react to it. That is the context in which the, you know, the political establishment would be responding, that they'd be reacting to this, to what is being reported. And we see this all the time now. Like this is, he was sort of theorizing about this, but I mean, I think it was going on back then. I think it's going on right now, even more so, where, you know, they shape our reality. They create events that we are forced to respond to and deal with, and we don't even know if they're actually real or not.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's really, you know, incredible to think about. But I mean, really, I think that is, I mean, if I could communicate one thing to, you know, everybody living in America, it would be that. It's like, look, the media is literally being used systematically to deceive you.
Yeah.
And what they present is certainly not, you know, the full story. You know, they are literally at a point now where they can create events and use them to advance their agenda. And that is what we see all the time.
And we know George Soros seemed to be funding those rioters in Baltimore and Ferguson.
Exactly.
Did you hear about that those people weren't paid? The rioters in Ferguson and Baltimore didn't get their money from George Soros, and they were suing him? You see, I don't know if that's true, but
wouldn't that be hilarious if that was true?
That's what I'm reading, because Soros, of course, owns huge stakes in all these things, you know, in Amazon and all this, eBay and all that, doesn't he? In Walmart, which I said was Jewish controlled. So there you go. But it was saying there that the writers didn't get paid for those things. So I guess they do that now for a living, John. They sort of just hang around, they get the call up, and they go in and smash stuff and go back to their hotel, get their payment through, you know. They're like the trolls online that troll Facebook and all that to spread disinformation and everything. We know that's been going on for a long time, but that would be very funny if old Georgie baby didn't pay them.
yes, that would be hilarious. And being the, you know, the stingy Jew he is, he probably didn't pay them.
no, of course. And I don't have it in front of me. You may have read it. It was an article that was put out by Red Ice Radio about some type of papers that to do with that shooting in Charlestown, to do with a drill. Did you read that?
You know, I've seen it. I didn't really pay too much attention to it. I've seen a number of videos on YouTube, you know, making that allegation that there was some sort of mass shooting drill taking place either that day or maybe in the days leading up to it. I can't remember all the details.
They always do drills, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? And I think in a lot of cases is they put out so much information that, you know, it really is sort of impossible to figure out exactly what happened. I mean, I can't say 100% that Sandy Hook was a hoax and no one died. That's what I do genuinely believe, because that is the best theory that explains all the anomalies and explains all the evidence that we have at our disposal. But I can't say that conclusively. You know, same thing with Charleston. You know, we can't say for certain that it was a hoax and no one died and you know, this is all created by the media. That's certainly what it looks like. That's what it appears to be after, you know, critically examining what the media has said, critically looking at some of these very bizarre interviews that, you know, the alleged victim family members have been giving. And you know what? This is another thing we haven't talked about. If you go back and look at some of these interviews, all of the alleged victim family members, they're all talking about, oh, well, love prevails and we're against hate. And this man was filled with hate, but it's all love and hate. It's really weird. You'll see it if you watch some of these interviews. That's all they're talking about. It's all about love and hate. And it's almost like, geez, are these just like the only talking points these people were given? It's weird. And they're all saying like the same thing. So it's just another anomaly that's added. But, I think with these major events, there's so much information that's put out by the mainstream, you know, even by alternative media outlets, that it just becomes really difficult for most people to sit down and sift through all this stuff and figure out what's what and what's BS and what's you know, legitimate. There are people that are good at doing this, you know, including us, I would like to say, and, you know, many others out there. But the vast majority of people are not going to have the time or the energy or even the skills, really, the capability to do this. And they know that, and I think that's, you know, that's sort of part of how they do these things.
Yeah, and you're right there. They put out so much information, it bamboozles the public, and then they lose interest, don't they? And then get the gay right thing coming in. the gays can marry now. So back to that, just quickly to mention that paper, it was Department of Homeland Security was running a training course called ASTITP, Active Shooter Threat Instructor Training Program, from 15th of June to the 19th of June in Charlestown. I did put it up on the site. It was very interesting. It's an actual document, Federal Law Enforcement Training Centers. It's got the dates, and then highlighted it says Active Shooter Threat Instructor Training Programs held there. So that's what they did, John, in the Sydney Lint Cafe siege as well. About a year before, they had a drill training drill there, and then this so-called shooting where you put the ISIS flag in the window and the people running away laughing. It really looked real. But you look at something that happened in Tunisia, that looks absolutely real, like people were murdered. They go ahead, and I don't know what you think about that, but it's crazy. But I think if you look at the Charlestown thing, as you said, yeah, they released, you look at it on its surface and it just seems silly. You think this is a total setup, but then after a couple of weeks of the media just confusing everybody, most people, as you said, they're too tired and they give up and lose interest.
Yeah.
Even though on its surface, it's very basic what happened. You see what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah. Now, the situation in Sydney, I didn't follow that, obviously probably not as closely as you did, considering you live in Australia. Was that a situation that was, typically, just created by the media, like Sandy Hook and some of these other events?
The situation happened right across the road from our two biggest media outlets, Channel 7 right. News and Sky News mm-hmm. Australia, right across the road. And and it was just weird. I'll send you some videos on it. One of them, there's like a father talking. His daughter was supposedly killed in there, and you can see him sort of smirking and winking, and it's just weird. It's like he looks like a method actor to me. But people jump on you and say, that's insensitive, you're an arsehole. But it looked totally, that Sydney siege, I can't see them killing anyone there, not in Sydney. And considering there was a drill in the same place 1 year ago, and that's documented. People witnessed it. They came in and did a terror drill in the same cafe, mm-hmm. and the flag in the window, the fake flag. It was, the whole thing was a real joke. I don't think we're too good at it here. Not as good as the Americans, but
they're not even good over here.
Well, as we say always, John, the Jews make movies in Hollywood. That's what they do, and right. that's what this is. It's all theater. It's just all theater. And it's blurring the lines, isn't it? People watch so many movies where you see the exact same thing happen, but you walk out of the cinema and you say, well, it's just a movie, it's not real, and then you're seeing this on the news, and then mm-hmm. you're trying to work out again, is it real, what's going on? And it's really fucking with our minds.
Well, and yeah, you're right. And you know what they're also really good at is exploiting us psychologically and emotionally.
That's what it is.
With fear. It is. Yeah, it really is. And you see with all these events, immediately there's memorials and, we have all this very emotional testimony given by the alleged victim family members. And there's these big public events that get huge media attention where, the whole community gets involved and, we shall overcome. And what was it? Boston Strong, Sandy Hook Strong.
Yeah, all the groups, yeah.
They really try to tie everybody into this. And then if you raise any questions, you're insensitive and, you're crazy and, you're morally wrong for even questioning what's going on.
Yeah.
It's so basic and so simple. Oh, it absolutely does. Yeah, it absolutely does. And I think that's a huge part of all of this. Is, the way that we're manipulated psychologically and emotionally with this, with this propaganda, by the media itself, what I mean?
Yeah, it's same with the gay thing. People are saying, oh, well, gay marriage is all right. Well, fine, I don't care what gays do. I happen to personally think that gay men are pretty disgusting. I think it's against natural law, and it's quite ugly. They're not seeing the bigger agenda here. I mean, when you look at the gay Hollywood agenda that's been going on for decades and decades now, there's an absolute agenda being pushed. And as well, we talk about, the plastics and the change of our very makeup that's happening on a human level as well, and why men are becoming so gay and women are becoming sort of more masculine. Sophia Smallstorm mm-hmm. talks about that very well. how our makeup's been changed with men, but people are caught up in this whole, well, let them get married, it's their right, but they're not seeing the agenda behind this gay thing. That, you know, they're really pushing it with your Common Core, and in the schools now they're showing them pornography, and, you know, it's really cryptic and nasty and terrible what's happening. Especially to our young people, and it's all being normalised, you know?
Exactly.
It's sad.
Well, and you know, one of the things that I say, and I hate to sound so crude, but I mean, really, when you think about it, all these people are fighting for the right, you know, and to normalize the practice of one man putting his penis in another man's butthole. I mean, when you break it, that's what homosexuality is. And that is like the most repulsive, unnatural, disgusting thing you could ever think of. And yet that's what everybody's all up in arms about.
Exactly.
It's just so incredible to even, like, when you, and I tell people, I'm like, look, you are so upset and worked up about this, and this is what you're fighting for. You know, like, this is really what homosexuality is. How could you say that, regardless if it's right or wrong, regardless of, you know, anything? I mean, that is what it is. Like, if you think that that is awesome and that's what everybody should be doing, I mean, you know, whatever. But I'm not for that. I count me out. Like, I want nothing to do with that. It's absolutely an abomination. It's the most repulsive, disgusting thing you could ever imagine.
Exactly.
And yet that's what everyone's all up in arms about when you really break it down.
Well, you know, especially when you look at what's going on this planet. When you look at the
like
disease,
the, yeah, like
war,
that's the most important thing. Yeah,
yeah, dicks in guys' bums. You know, they're all thinking about dicks now. And you got the White House and American, Congress and all this stuff painted in gay colors. When you know, there's just all these terrible wars going on, and you know, but behind this smokescreen, you know, John, as we know, there's smoke and mirrors. We're all being stabbed in the back by the globalist dagger, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we're all carrying on with this. I mean, that's the most important thing in the United States at the moment, Obama.
Is,
you know, guys having sex with each other and they've got to get married. I mean, for God's sakes, man. You know,
forget about the systematic destruction
of your
economy
and jobs.
Yeah,
you know?
Forget about all these
the family
homeless
doesn't matter,
veterans.
Does it?
Mm. Right. Forget about these endless wars we've been fighting on Israel's behalf.
Stoking
Russia.
Forget
about all this corruption. Yeah, forget about, you know, provoking Russia.
Stoking the bee.
Exactly. Forget about all these things. You know, what you need to be concerned about,
gay and lesbian,
is Caitlyn Jenner and, you know, homosexuals. Like, that's you know, it's just insane. To me, it right now, we're at a point now where, you know, it's just insulting. It is insulting what is going on. It is insulting what the media is telling us is going on. It's insulting the way the politicians and the elites, you know, present information and you know, talk to us and you know, what they expect us to think is important. It is so insulting and so unacceptable. It's going to get to a point where, look, you're either with them or you're with us, and you're questioning what's going on, and you recognize, you know, what the agenda is and what needs to be done. I mean, it's really at a point now where, guys, if you can't see what's going on, like, you know, I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want to talk to you. You know, I want nothing to do with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I put a story up on sperm count, and fertility in men is just sharply declining. They're saying this is due to everyday plastics.
It was
the mainstream, you know, all the chemicals found in curtains and cars and dashboards and cleaning materials and all this stuff we're surrounded with is destroying our testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
We can breathe it in, of course, it's absorbed through our skin. Pregnant women now, they're saying in Germany, had this Monsanto Roundup in their breast milk, John, which is absolutely frightening. You know, it's in all the creams and all the stuff we put on, you know, as the women use the Pantene shampoo to make their hair look nice. It's plastic. And so the men are declining on a masculine level and also with their potency to be able to have a family. And not only is that not bad enough, you know, now all they're interested in is having sex with other men and children. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable. And women don't seem to care too much now. And then you got this Bruce Jenner. If you look at the whole story of him, he was this big, masculine, sort of nice-looking, athlete, Olympian sort of athlete, and now he's a woman, you see. That's where what we have become. You know, and I look at it all, and it just seems like societies do collapse when they get this decadent and this sort of stuff starts to happen, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, you can only flaunt the iron laws of nature for so long before your entire society collapses. And I think that's the way we've been headed for quite some time, and I think it's only going to increase. And we need people out there that have some sanity and that are honest and approaching these things from an honest and critical perspective, and that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, and it's sad about the male, you know, because if you go into a tribe and you take the men out, it isn't going to survive very long. It's just being smashed and smashed to pieces and flushed down the toilet, really, you know. And what are young boys taught to do, you know, when you know from day one is masturbate, you know, and masturbate over Jewish controlled pornography on the internet. I mean, how bad and cold and sterile, and you know, everyone gets caught in that. It does capture a part of you as a man, you know, but when you sort of turn the tables and you look at what they're doing, you see it as a war, you know, and then men are just wasting their life essence, their seed, and they're not interested in women anymore. They're confused. They're turning bisexual, gay. It's really a sad state of affairs. When you think that, you know, seminal fluids in a man is for procreating to start a family. That's what it is. That's what, you know, I mean, but we're just acting like these crazed animals on this planet, you know? And the pornography is one of the most powerful weapons I can possibly think of, in regards to smashing the bond that a man and a woman has together. You know, that we're supposed to have together in a natural, loving way on this planet, and prolong our species. It's just when you look at it that way, and how now how young men see women because they watch pornography is really, really shattering, you know?
Right. No, I think you're exactly right. It's a huge topic. And yeah, no, I mean it's I
It's
agree with
Jewish
all the points you're
control.
making.
Let's be
Yeah.
honest. It's Jewish control, the pornography. I mean, come on. It is,
Well,
you know.
and no, oh, it absolutely is. And I just put up an article the other just yesterday, and it's received a ton of comments about tattoos and the modern tattoo industry
Oh my God.
was created by Jews, and I didn't even know
Yeah.
this. I mean, I should have known. And I just asked the question at the end of the article. Go check it out. Go to therealistreport.com and you'll see the article I'm talking about. And weigh in. I made some comments about tattoos and how I personally don't find them very attractive. I mean, I see, living in Southern California, pretty much everybody has tattoos, at least one. And I don't have any tattoos, and it's very, very rarely do I encounter somebody who doesn't have a tattoo. I mean, literally, I'd say 80, 90% of people have tattoos out here. It's crazy.
We've got all those American TV shows now, the reality ones, where they're just inking all over each other's bodies, and they're all just hanging around, and they're all cool. We got a one starting in Sydney, called Bondi Tattoo. Bondi is a beach place in Sydney, and they're all scribbling over each other now. They're going to have a TV show on it. They're all so cool, aren't they? Like, you know, it's yeah, exactly. It's bizarre.
Well, and in the article I just wrote, I was like, is there, I'm really starting to wonder, and I've wondered for a long time, if there is any subversive, destructive cultural norm or ideology or social practice that does not originate in the mind of a Jew. And I can't think of any. I mean, when you think about pornography, sexual promiscuity, tattoos, like I just said,
Yeah,
gay
just
marriage, I mean, everything comes from them. And I mean, I know that sounds extreme to people that aren't up to speed with the Jews and what they're up to. But guys, I mean, shit, and they admit it. Like they just openly admit all this stuff and they brag about it and they act like it's so awesome. And if you say anything about it, you're called an anti-Semite. If you just quote basic facts that Jews themselves openly state in their own newspapers and books, you're an anti-Semite. It's just, again, it's just so unacceptable what is going on. And it is so clear that, all of pretty much everything goes back to them. I mean, not to say that we don't have any say or any control of what's going on. But I mean, if you look at all of these subversive practices and ideology, it goes back to the Jews, to the mind of some perverted, filthy Jew. You know, I mean, again, I don't mean to sound crude, but it's true. It is literally true. And I'd like to be proven wrong, you know, at some point. But thus far, I really can't even identify one single thing that does not originate, you know, in a Jewish mind.
Another thing as well, before we wrap it up, a lot of people probably think I'm nuts, but I was watching TV the other night and they had these, magicians. You know, they're really popular mm-hmm. now, like Chris Angel and Dynamo. They've all got the black hair and the tattoos all over them and the black jackets and the black eyeliner and all this stuff. And they're doing these magic tricks. And I'm saying, these guys do look Jewish. And I looked it up and they are. I'm not sure about David Copperfield and even Houdini. Someone might know about that. But it was just talking about what's up with Jews and magic and, you know, this type of industry. And why are they all Jewish, all these magicians? And, you know, that was an interesting subject as well. Because looking at some of these TV shows where they're doing these tricks, it isn't possible. So are they tapping into some type of black magic, maybe? Or it's just trickery to fool the public. But that's an interesting thing as well, isn't it? Jews are all involved in the magic now. And that's really, as you said, very dark. Very dark, all these mm-hmm. guys, Chris Angel and all that, aren't they? It doesn't look very natural to me at all. But all in that sort of stuff as well. I don't know where the Jews come from, what they are, if they are tapping into something very dark. But that was interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know for sure. We could probably find out just by Googling it. But I do believe Houdini and Copperfield are both Jewish.
So there you go. They're in the magic acts as well.
I don't know for sure, but
there's been a lot of stuff.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if they both turned out to be Jews.
You know, I've heard that there's demons or this kind of demons behind this black magic that they're doing. You know, which probably sounds silly to some people, but, you know, when you look at demon, this demonic energy as being an energy that they may be tapping into, that the Jews know how to do, I don't know, but it's the whole industry's full of them. But it's all about addiction and sexual sin and, you know, sexuality and tattoos and darkness and horror and gore, all these tricks they're doing, they're quite nasty and the devil and all this stuff, and it's Jewish again. Mm-hmm. So there you go. You know, it's really crazy stuff. As you said, every industry that you look at, whether it's money, pornography, this, whatever it is that they're involved in, it's extremely dark.
It is, yeah. It's very dark. It's very contrary to the Aryan tradition and the Aryan spirit. And I think that's very clear if you just even take a very cursory glance at any of these subjects we're talking about.
So there you go, John. That's your homework for the next couple of days. And have a look at the Satanism and Jewish magic. And have a little look into it. Dynamo, Chris Angel, Copperfield, all these people. Let me know what you find. I've saved
sure
a little
thing,
bit.
Man.
But are they using, are these people demonic? Because I certainly think so. I think there's, you know, something's wrong there. And I know it's a bit much for people to accept that, but, you know, it is interesting to look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I think you're probably right.
I don't want to be right. I want to be wrong because it's freaky.
Yeah.
It's a worry. You know, you look at what they did to Germany, you look at what they're doing to the Palestinians now, you look at their whole makeup, it is dark. You know, and now they're using this magic, you know, to fool the goyim as they see it. So, interesting stuff. Indeed. But, you know, turn the TV off, I'd say. Don't watch it. It's, you know, it's not good. It's not healthy for our minds, John, anyway. So it's...
That's right.
Yeah, it's ghastly, really. You know, and who wants to get, you know, look like they just come out of prison with all this ink scratched all over their bodies and their faces and their necks, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't get it at all, John, like you. I don't have any. And I'd have no need to. It never did anything for me at all. So I don't understand it, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible, man.
You got to be cool, John. Get a couple of tats so you can walk around and show everyone, you know, with your singlet on.
Oh, God.
Get with the times. Anyway, we'll wrap it up, eh, today.
Okay.
So it's been a good talk.
Yeah.
And always good to catch
thanks.
Up.
Yeah, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. It's always nice speaking with you. I think you guys are doing a great job, and you're a great host. And, you know, the show that you did with Kyle, that was awesome. You guys did a really good job. And I think you guys made a lot of really good points about the shooting and about a number of other subjects. So yeah, keep up the good work, and I'm sure we will be talking soon.
Yeah, it's good just to connect and chat, isn't it? And do a show here and there and find out what's going on. You know, you've got your boots on the ground, so it's always good to check in with you. But tell us about your great website and your anything else you want to get out there before we plug out of the matrix.
Yeah, sure. So my website is therealistreport.com.
Great site.
Right. Yeah. And I'm also on Twitter. If you go to twitter.com/realistreport, you can follow me on Twitter. I post a lot of links and images and other things. There's also my Twitter feed right there on my site if you look on the right-hand side of the page. I also contribute to American Free Press, and their website is americanfreepress.net. It really is America's last real newspaper. We put out a lot of very... publication. Absolutely talk about the Jews. Absolutely pro-white. And just pro-America in general. So, you know, I'd encourage people to check out their site and, you know, consider subscribing. But other than that, yeah, thanks, man. I really appreciate you having me on. And, you know, it's always an honor and a privilege to speak with you.
Thanks, John, and we'll catch up again soon.
Okay. Take care, man.